Good evening. Maybe we could sing hymn number 18 together on the hymn sheet. It says, God loved the world so tenderly, his only Son he gave, that all who on his name believe its wondrous power will save. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. That whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's sing hymn number 18 together. Think about that question in the third verse. Why perish then, ye careless ones? Why slight the gracious call? Why turn from him whose words proclaim eternal life to all? For God so loved the world. Well, we've been on a bit of a journey on our way here. And as we drove over the last few days to come, you might imagine that I prayed earnestly that the Lord would give me a word from Himself that might be a help to anyone who is sitting here tonight in their sins. It was a long drive. And it really wasn't until we arrived here on Thursday and we get down on our knees and we prayed and we went to bed before the Lord really started to show me what possibly He would talk to you about tonight. But I can't go too far before I start by telling you how precious and wonderful you are. You need to know that God loves you. He made you. You're so special to Him. So special that He recognized that there was no way that you and I, as a sinner, could come into His very presence. And so He sent His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, into the world to save sinners. And if you haven't, could you for a moment just picture Him? Could you just see this little one born as a baby into this world of sin and hatred? Could you see Him just for a moment running as a little boy in the streets? How would it be for you to recognize this one that loves you so much being led through the city there where they hated Him without a cause? Do you hate Him tonight? Will you reject Him again? They took Him and they beat Him and they spit in His face and He never said a word. They plucked the hairs from His face and they put a crown of thorns in His brow and He never said a word. As they nailed Him to that cross, the spikes in His hands and His feet, can you imagine that suffering that must have been at that moment? And He never said a word. And they lifted Him up before all to see as they continued to cry, "Crucify Him, crucify Him." And maybe you don't know a lot about it. It's difficult for me to understand at times. But there was such as we speak of in the hours of darkness. And He paid a price for you and I when all of our sins were laid on Him at that moment. He was made sin for you and I that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Have you accepted it? Do you know Him as your Savior? And so He laid down His life and He died. And a soldier came and shoved a spear in His side, and forthwith flowed there out blood and water. The saving power. There is power in the blood. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. He did it for you. And He did it for me. So that you and I can spend eternity with Him. In a place that He has gone to prepare, He rose again on the third day, just as He said He would. He was even seen being taken up into the cloud. It says, "In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." He has made a place for you. in heaven with Him. The alternative is horrible. Why would we reject? Why would we neglect so great salvation to spend it in hell? Do you recognize right now, dear ones, that if you have not put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, if you do not believe that He died for you on the cross, that you are on your way to hell? If you do not believe right now that you are a sinner, you deceive yourself. It says in Romans 3, "There is none that doeth good, no, not one." In the lobby this morning, there was a man sitting on the couch, and a few of us had a moment to speak with him. And he said he knew the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. He said he would be in heaven someday because he had a lot of loved ones that already went before him to heaven. And they came back and they told him that it was okay. There was a place there for him and he'd be there. A young brother asked him about works. This man felt that by the things he had done, by being kind to others, that would take him to his place in heaven. And so we asked him about the blood. It didn't really seem like he needed that. Dear ones, he says, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." You cannot work your way into heaven. Our brother read the verse in Ephesians 2 today. "By grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Well, you know, he said, "I'm coming again." And I wonder if you know when. If you know when, could you tell me? It says that you know not the day nor the hour. So Thursday night, we arrived at the hotel. We're on the second floor. Our sons are on the floor below us. And about 5:30 in the morning, a horrendous siren went off. It was so loud, I thought it was in our room. It was deafening. I had not ever heard a noise like it. Apparently, neither had my wife, because she got up before I did. And she said, "What do we do?" I said, "I don't know." But the concern was evident, and we had read of tornadoes in the area. And so very quickly, we determined what the noise was. It was a warning siren. And immediately, we heard it. There is a siren ringing right now, dear ones, for you. Are you hearing it? Have you put your trust in Christ? Well, my boys were down a floor, and of course you can imagine as a father, there was concern as to what we should do, so I texted my sons and I told them what I felt they should do. And then we proceeded to prepare ourselves to go out the door and down to the front desk to find out what the protocol was. And as we got down there, the man at the desk, he said, "Well," he said, "you're told to either go to a lower level or to an inner hall." Frankly, I don't know if there is a lower level in that hotel. But I went and I got my boys, and they came out. And of course, the locals were already in the hallway because, knowing the procedure in this area, they were prepared. And so everyone sat in a place of refuge or security, where the walls might be stronger, where it might be safer. And it reminded me so much of the Lord's coming. We read it so often in 1 Thessalonians 4. In verse 16 it says, "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God." There will be a loud noise, and only those that believe in him will hear it. I heard that siren. And to be perfectly honest with you, I was not prepared for it. I did not know what to do next. Are you prepared for the coming of the Lord? It says in Amos 4 and 12, "Prepare to meet thy God." Are you ready? Because if you're not, there's judgment to follow. Judgment for your sins, to where you will be cast into the lake of fire. Brother I was sitting with last night mentioned a verse in the next chapter. It says, "He will come as a thief in the night." You have your house, it's prepared. Maybe you have an alarm, maybe you don't. Maybe your doors are locked, maybe they're not. But a thief doesn't normally come and knock on the door and say, "I'm coming in to take all your things." It's difficult to prepare for that. Are you prepared for his coming? There was a man in the basement of the hallway where we were in the hotel, waiting out the storm as the siren wailed on. And he was a believer, and he was telling us how he came to be caught up with God's word and to be interested in it. And we started to ask him how he learned about the Lord Jesus and how he got saved. And it was through death. He worked in a nursing home, he said. And it was a nursing home where just about anybody came off the street. Different ages, just like this room. Young, middle-aged, older. It didn't matter. There was no respect of persons there. And as he worked, he would see ones that had lived a horrible life. Drugs, crime, alcohol. And they had nothing. And they had no hope. And they would just look on in shame for the things that they had done. He said he remembered a woman who was about 40. Her liver had shut down. She was, he said, green, the color of her skin. And she had nothing. But then there was this old lady that was in there. She was all alone. She had no visitors. But she was so happy. And she was at peace. And he said that he could see such a difference in the two comparisons. And the scales were tipping immensely towards the woman.
who was happy and had peace. And he came to find out that she knew the Lord Jesus Christ as her Savior. Do you want to be happy and have peace tonight? Or do you want to be in a state of shame until you die? Stuck in your sins for all eternity. Death was enough for this man. He could see it in every patient that was there, and in every time he had to try to work on somebody. And it made him to realize that there was something else that he needed. He needed the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. So do you, dear one, if you haven't taken him. To be the Savior of your sins. He also had a family, I noticed. He had a wife and some children. And he had absolutely no problem talking about the Lord Jesus Christ in front of them. I'm certain that if they weren't all saved, he was working hard towards it. He wanted each one to know the Lord Jesus Christ is his Savior. We too here know death. It wasn't very long ago our brother Randy went to be with the Lord. How thankful each of us are that know the Lord Jesus Christ is our Savior. What does the Lord require from you and I as sinners? He simply wants us to repent. He simply wants us to own that we are sinners, to have a new way of thinking about it, to turn from sin and turn to Him for salvation. It is free. It's offered to you and me. Won't you accept it now? I never anticipated that siren going off at 5:30 in the morning. I didn't know what to do. But when it comes to salvation, there is not one here in the room now that can say that you don't know what to do. Are you prepared to meet God? Are you prepared for that moment when death could come, or when the Lord Jesus might come? I thought of this verse in connection with the wind in Job chapter 1. I'll read it to you. This is reality. Job chapter 1, it says in verse 13, "And there was a day when his sons and his daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house." The middle of verse 18, "Thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking wine in their eldest brother's house, and behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead." That is reality. I sought a place of refuge in the hallway of a building, knowing in my own heart that if the wind was strong enough, that building would never withstand it, and any in that hallway would be crushed to death. That's reality. That's the truth. We read it right here in these verses. But oh, it reminded me so much of verses that we see in 2 Samuel 22, Psalm 31. It speaks of that one who is the rock. I say the rock of our salvation, our refuge. 1 Corinthians 10 and 4, it says, that rock is Christ. That rock is Christ. Have you put your trust in Him? I've told this story before about the father and his son. I'll try to tell it again. Because it reminds me so much of God the Father and His Son. And it reminds me so much of how each and every one here is important to God and how much He loves you. There was a vessel on the water. And they were sailing, and there was a great crew. But they ran into trouble through the wind. It became boisterous, and they were unable to control the ship, the boat. And at some point, they must have struck a reef or a rock, and it put a hole in the hull of the boat. And I'm certain they must have tried many things, bailing water, whatever it might have taken, to stop the water from coming in. But it became evident to the father, who happened to be the captain, it became evident that they were in grave danger. They all went down into the hull of the ship to assess the damage, and the water was filling up. Is that what it feels like for you tonight if you're here in your sins? Do you feel like the water is filling up? The pressure is so great that you have no escape? Well, this captain, as I said, was a father, and his son was on the boat. And he said to his son, there's only one way that we can plug that hole. I don't really understand why, but the means was such that somebody had to go down into that water and use their body or their arm, and they had to plug the hole. Most of the men, the crew, they were simple crewmen. They required a captain. They required a leader, one to be in charge and over them. It was his responsibility. And so his son said, I'll do it. The Lord Jesus Christ said, here am I, send me. And he went in obedience to that cross of Calvary for you and I, so that we could be free. That captain's son went down into the hull of that boat. He plugged the hole. He lost his life so that crew might live. Won't you live tonight? Won't you accept the invitation that is being offered, that gracious call? Won't you take Him now as your own Savior before it's too late? I'm going to tell this other story that I read just recently and I shared the other night. But I find it to be such an amazing little tale that I trust it might have an impact on fathers, mothers, children. You may have heard it before. It's titled, Good Night or Goodbye. I'd never heard anything like it before. But since we're talking about being prepared to meet thy God, this man, he was a businessman, he was a father, he was well respected, and he loved the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior. He was prepared. He had taught all of his children about the Lord Jesus Christ. He had a loving wife who walked with the Lord with him. One day he went to work and he was struck by a car. They rushed him to the hospital and the doctor said, "You have 2 hours to live. Bring in his family to say goodbye." So the family arrived. And he said to his wife, he said, "Good night, my dear." He said, "I love you. You have been a wonderful wife. You have walked with the Lord. You have encouraged me in the Lord. How special you are to me. Good night." He said, "I will see you in the morning." He came to his eldest daughter. I forget her name. And he said, "Good night, my dear. You have been a wonderful daughter. I've taught you about the Lord Jesus, and you have accepted him as your Savior. You have gone on faithfully. You've been wonderful to me. Good night." He went to his eldest son, and he said something similar to him, and how he had been faithful to the Lord Jesus and taking him as his Savior and walking for him. The next was another son, but he skipped over him. And he went to the youngest daughter and he said, "Good night. Good night. You too have been a dear daughter to me. You have taken the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. What a delight you are. Good night, my dear." And then he came back to the third child and he said, "Goodbye, Charlie." He said, "Goodbye, Charlie. I've given you everything that the other children had. I've taught you all about the Lord Jesus Christ and how to be saved. Instead, you chose to walk on the broad path to destruction. You've been a disappointment, Charlie. You've walked in sin. Goodbye, Charlie." Charlie fell down beside his father. He said, "Father, why would you say goodnight to the others and say goodbye to me?" His father said, "Charlie, you know about the Lord Jesus. And in God's word, I know by the scriptures I will see the others again. But I will never be able to see you over there." Oh, Charlie fell down on his knees, weeping. And he cried to the Lord for salvation, to save him from his sins. And how sorry he was. And his father said, "Charlie, Do you mean it? Are you in earnest? Charlie said, oh, yes, Father, God knows it. He said, well, good night then, Charlie. I'll see you in the morning. And he went to be with the Lord. Dear ones, is it good night for you or is it goodbye? And I think about all you little children here tonight, all you young people. How important it is for you to know the Lord Jesus Christ is your Savior now. And you parents, it's already been brought out today. But what a responsibility you have to raise your children for the Lord. That rock, which is Christ. You know, it tells you there in Luke chapter 6. The end of the chapter. Verse 46, it says, and why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it. For it was founded upon a rock. I think of that father and how he had taught all his children with his wife about the Lord Jesus Christ and salvation. He himself standing on that rock, which is Christ. And then he built his house upon the rock. And it is only with that that our little ones can come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior and that we can withstand the storm. It says, but he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built a house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. You remember Paul and Silas, that story in Acts 16. Locked up in the prison house, the earthquake came, the Philippian jailer. You remember he took them to his house. He saw there was something special in them, in the way they trusted in God. And he cried to them, what must I do to be saved? It's this simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. I had thought of this hymn tonight. Well, I thought of it yesterday. And Sarah helped me find it. And then Tom helped me find it earlier because I couldn't remember where Sarah told me it was. But I would just read it to you as I considered all these things that were rolling around in my mind. It's in the Echoes of Grace, 212. It says, it may be at morn when the day is awaking, when sunlight through darkness and shadow is breaking, that Jesus will come in the fullness of glory to receive from the world his own. We don't know when it is. It could be right now. Are you ready? Verse 2, it may be at midday. It may be at twilight. It may be perchance that the blackness of midnight will burst into light in the blaze of His glory when Jesus receives His own. Oh, how wonderful it will be for all those that believe to be caught up together to meet Him in the air. What a triumph. What a victory. What a hope we have right now in Him. Is it yours tonight? Is He your Savior now? Don't delay it for another moment. Oh joy, oh delight, should we go without dying, no sickness, no sadness, no dread, and no crying, caught up through the clouds with our Lord into glory, when Jesus receives His own. Oh, I beg you tonight to be a part of that. Don't miss out. The alternative is so horrible. Lazarus could say from afar, that great gulf that was fixed, just drop a touch of water on my tongue. He was in agony. Is that how you want to spend eternity? Away from the one that loves you so much and that gave Himself for you? Do not reject Him tonight. Take Him as your Savior now. O Lord Jesus, how long, ere we shout the glad song, Christ returneth, hallelujah, hallelujah, amen.